Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Philippi, the first chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." A large, beautiful yacht, very large yacht, was making its way out in the Caribbean Sea, far from any land. On board was a very wealthy family that had riches in their family for generations deep. And there was a 13-year-old boy who was bored to tears sitting on the deck of the yacht, looking over the railing, staring out into the water. And suddenly he looks down and he sees something floating in the water. And as they get closer, here is a piece of broken up wood, and on top of it floating is a very haggard looking young boy about his same age. Quickly, someone goes down to bring the boy back up, and they bring him onto the deck of the yacht, dry him off, take care of him, and give him something to eat and drink. And he begins looking around this boat, something like he's never seen before in his life, with just absolute amazement. And so the wealthy boy begins leading him around the yacht and giving him a tour and showing him all the cool things on the yacht and so on. And this poor boy is standing there just wide-eyed and so impressed. And the other boy is constantly saying to him, it's no big deal. Takes him into the galley where the food is and the refrigerator full of all the best food. And once again, the young man who's been rescued is just standing there in amazement, looking at all of the beautiful food and everything there is to eat. The child of the wealthy family says, "Help me." And he holds out his shirt and fills his shirt full of apples, and they go out onto the deck, and this rich, spoiled kid begins throwing them out into the water, seeing how far he can toss them. And the poor boy just stands there in absolute amazement. It becomes very clear that the wealthy child has become so accustomed to the riches that he has lived in and with that he no longer truly appreciates them as he should. I am spiritually spoiled. I have been blessed to have grown up my entire life in an amazing Christian family. I've had the Christian faith around me my whole life. It runs generations deep. The gospel, the precious news about Christ, is virtually second nature to me. God's grace, the full forgiveness of my sins, the doctrines of Scripture, I have been taught these from my parents before I even knew what my name was. I can break down law and gospel with the best of them. I can give you biblical arguments on almost any subject that you want. I have been given schooling in some of the finest institutions that teach the Word of God and present this precious Christian faith. I have grown up living on the yacht. But I've also become so accustomed to all of this that I rarely pause to consider how amazing it is and how wonderful it is. It is rare that I sit and marvel at the grace of God that I have in Christ and what that means for me in my future. Sometimes we can grow up with so many blessings around us that we just take them for granted. It's that way about earthly stuff. can happen the same way too when it comes to spiritual stuff. Why should I care about worship? Why should I care about taking the sacrament? Someday I'll get around to it. It'll always be there. Why do I have to be so concerned about it now? But as Johann Gerhard once said, nothing is more fatal to godliness than procrastination. Years ago, I remember hearing a pastor in a sermon using the expression about spiritual anesthesia, where we can have blessings around us so much in life, both spiritual and temporal or earthly blessings, that we begin to become kind of insensitive to spiritual matters. It tends to dull our conscience and our soul and our hearts. We tend to not be quite as concerned about really repenting of our sin. We tend to not really care as much about possessing God's grace and the gospel. We don't seem to quite have the same intensity and love for the sacrament of the altar. It's very easy for me to let my Christianity be merely head knowledge and to slowly kind of build a brick wall between that and having it actually reach my heart. The devil is more than happy to let me appear outwardly pure with Pharisaical righteousness and to let me have all of the answers to the Bible trivia game as long as he can ultimately deaden my heart. This same struggle is there for all Christians. Listen again to how Paul writes to the first century Philippian Christians. I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. He uses two interesting phrases in there. Not only knowledge should they be growing in, but along with that, discernment, an interesting word that means understanding and application to your heart, to your life, applying this to your life. God includes many warnings of Scripture about those who at one time possessed the faith, in fact, that some in some ways just had it all around them, and yet ultimately permitted other worldly interests to deaden their hearts, and they were lost. Last year there was a student that had never ever before heard the gospel, who happened to be in my office one day talking to me and was just now discovering Christianity by God's grace through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I remember in explaining to her that because of the love and concern she was gaining for Christ, that she probably now was a Christian. And she just looked at me in amazement, with awe, that her eyes began filling with tears of joy. May we pray that God would help us to rediscover the awe of being blessed to live on this yacht, of the spiritual riches and wealth that we have in Christ, the knowledge of him as our Savior, the hope of heaven, the forgiveness of all of our sins. In the next chapter, St. Paul goes on to write, just a few verses from here, to these Philippians. He says, continue to work out your salvation with much fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. May we regain that awe of the wealth we've grown up in. And may we pray with the hymn writer John Fawcett, who himself was converted to the faith at age 16. Thanks we give and adoration for thy gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of thy salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful to the truth, may we be found. Amen. Please rise. I ask you now to join me in the prayer for Monday morning, which you will find on page 168. Page 168. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might, make me sincere in my love to you, and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptations of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor to your glory and my salvation. Amen.